are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in. I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. Sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is good with you today and that you're ready for this week. And I hope the week is going to be good for you. I hope the family is going to be cool, you know, although I'm don't celebrate these holidays, excuse me. But I know our people do. And I'm hoping that these gatherings of our people will strengthen these families. And I really mean that. So I hope you had a good weekend, or you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But I know if it wasn't, you did it anyway. And I know you always persevere, and we love you for it. We appreciate you tremendously. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for the podcast. Click on that. Look for African Perspectives. It'll come right up at the top. Click on that, and then you will see programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3 on Mondays and Wednesdays. In the evening, and all times I'm giving, all times that I'm going to give you are Eastern times. In the evening, on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Wahad from 6 to 8. Following Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then after that is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, tomorrow, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesday from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister PLC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays. Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know what time it is. That's right. It is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's not me. Not from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. It's Sister PLC and Program Revive. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday, at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. They have all those products that are produced by us. I mentioned before, and right before I talk about the Greenbrier Mall, that WeBuyBlack.com or WeBuyBlack is trying to open up a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. They've asked brothers and sisters to donate a good number. I think it was 1,400. I got to go back, get that email. But, you know, they only raised 400,000. They said to make the project be what it should be and can be and must be and will be, they needed 1.2 million. And so there's more need to make those contributions. Now, understand, this is not a co-op, but it's like a co-op because people are pouring money into it, you know, because, you know, I'm a believer in co-ops. I'm a believer in working together, you know. And so I just say that, hey, we need to do this. And at the Greenbrier Mall is a kiosk of We Buy Black where those products can be purchased ASAP. So you can go today and pick up the laundry detergent, the batteries, toothpastes, toothbrushes, and all kind of good stuff at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, my good brother Bomani Tahembe is in the motherland. He is in South Africa. He is in Johannesburg. And then he'll be going to Cape Town. He'll be returning on December 2nd. And then after his return, he's going again in Ghana, December 24th. To January 4th. And this trip is only $3,700, brothers and sisters. Maybe that's the best holiday gift you can probably give each other is go to Ghana. Go to Ghana for the holiday. The high holy day. Believe me, they celebrate because I was there back in Easter, man. Yeah, okay. And there's enough about that. That's another subject. So, Africa for the Africans. Check Brother Bomani out. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Not with a K like we spell it, but with a C. So, no confusion. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End, it is that season, and so we should be on this so-called Black Friday. Spend some money with the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They have furniture, they have artwork, they have figurines, they have statues, they have everything. They got the Kwanzaa kits, they got the Kwanzaa candles, they have the red, black, and green shoes, and they have everything that you need, brothers and sisters. Check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna in the West End here in Atlanta, 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And the number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676. They are closed Monday and Tuesday, and they open from Wednesday through Saturday, and on Sunday from 1 to 3 on Sunday. Also, too, they have a history program, African history program of Know Thyself, every Saturday, free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30. And the course has just begun, so you're getting in at the beginning when you show up on Saturday, and free and open to the public, 1:30 to 3:30. But if you can't make that, but you like some of that good information, they have a multimedia library of 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. All at your fingertips, brothers and sisters. Another bookstore that I promote is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, which is right across from the kiosk of We Buy Black. That's right. The Medu Bookstore. Medu means writing. There's a word that goes after Medu, and that is Netcher. Netcher means God. That is what the writings on the walls of our temples and tombs in ancient Kemet, they're called Medu Netcher, not hieroglyphs. And the number to call is 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Another bookstore we promote is Black Dot. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107, brother Kazimde Ajamo, he also has the red, black, and green shoes. He has T-shirts and other stuff. And, of course, he has books. So give him a call if you're looking for a book. If you got it, go get it. If you don't, he'll get it for you. The Black Dot. Because you know why? There is light in the Black Dot. Ashe. Cafe. Excuse me. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. They have the Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And the number to call to listen to the broadcast is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us lifting us. And we need to become members of Us Lifting Us. Once again, as I stated, I'm a serious proponent of cooperatives. Here's a trip that you can go on, Dr. Rinoco Rashidi. Dr. Rinoco, go to his website, Dr. Rinoco, drrunoko.com, and check out this trip he has upcoming January 21st through February 4th. Is going to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. Senegal. In fact, it is at Senegal you have a special treat. They're going to have the opportunity to go to the radiocarbon dating laboratory established by the great scholar and historian, Dr. Chikunda Diop, and where he was able to prove that the ancient Kemetic people were Africans. They were black people. So check that out. Dr. Rinoco Rashidi, go online to his website. And his trip is $3,856. Very affordable. Going to three countries. Senegal, Gambia, where you can go visit the Jufare along the river of the Campi Balongo to find Kunta Kinte. Yeah, man, they sell them Kunta Kinte shirts now that Kaepernick came to the workout in a Kunta Kinte t-shirt. I'm going to leave that alone. I love it. You know I do. I love it. Akabin Institute. Coming up is Sister Yasp, December 10th. Tuesday, December 10th, Sister Yabarudi is having African Warrior Women's Day. And it'll be a question and answer period. You can also go online on Facebook and view the discussions. That is Tuesday, September 10th, 7 to 9:30. It's going to be at the Akabin Institute. Give them a call at 404-753-7237. Akabin Institute. Please, brothers and sisters, to support Sister Yah and Baba Mwalimu Barudi, please give to Akabin Institute. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Make check of money order out to Akabin Institute. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. If you can use Cash App or PayPal to make your contribution, please do so. Use the dollar sign. Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I. Sister Gabby, Gabby Aruria in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, in the rural area, she is doing phenomenal work. You need to go to that website, Sanjay-Haiti, because she is teaching healthcare, producing food, I mean, just helping themselves. And they need to be supported, that's for sure. Sanjay-Haiti, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. And that's how you pronounce Haiti, is Haiti. You know, I learned that from my good sister, Dr. Bayina Bello. And that's a beautiful sister, man. If you've seen that 1804 documentary, with that big gray fro. Oh, she's cold. And then there's another sister in that documentary that's outstanding. Yep. Black Talk Radio Network. The Black Talk Radio Network Project 2019 Media Fund. Go to the blacktalkradionetwork.com. When you go to that page, you will see, when you scroll down a little bit on the right, the donation button to donate to Black Talk Radio Network Fund. Or they have a link, and use that link. I am very happy and proud to be on Black Talk Radio Network. And so please give so we can get better and stronger, because that's what our people need. They need information. The Inyesesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, the Inyesesim. November 24th. It is the foolish who owns tomatoes are sold to him. It is the foolish whose own tomatoes are sold to him. The Akan Proverb. In those few cases where Africans win lawsuits against government entities and receive monetary compensation for their loss, the African community is still victimized. When we get so excited over these victories, we forget that the money used to pay this compensation comes out of our pocket. When we jump around celebrating some individual African winning this or that very minor monetary award, given the magnitude of the damage to our families and community, not to mention the considerable profits going to lawyers who are from outside of our community, we forget that the money for the rewards almost exclusively comes from our own tax dollars. These rewards do not come out of the pay of those who committed these illegal acts. They come out of the tax dollars of the residents who live in the community of those whom the acts were committed against. We are the ones who live in and provide the majority of the tax base in those metropolitan areas in which we are disproportionately violated. Therefore, the millions of dollars paid out in justified lawsuits for violations others committed against us are paid by us. We continue to finance our own destruction. In addition, there is no evidence that the individuals committing these violent acts against us are in any way negatively impacted. A family rewards its members when they serve and protect them from others they perceive as threats. So these criminals are applauded and rewarded by their community for their efforts to keep us at bay. Affirm, I am no fool. Affirm, I am no fool. November 25th. Black men kill each other because they have not yet chosen to challenge and neutralize on every front the widespread power of Caucasian men to rule over their lives. Dr. Amos Wilson. It's just like if you read one of my favorite essays, Dr. Bobby Wright. Blacks kill blacks because they've never been trained to kill whites. It's outside of their experience. But we have been trained to kill each other. Release is necessary and functional for human beings. However, as a people subject to European culture, some of our males have adopted a bully mentality that leads them to seek out those most vulnerable to their anger with the real aggressor cannot be successfully confronted. When the real aggressor can't be confronted, even given this violence, misogynistic cultural framework, violence by African men against African women goes beyond the obvious acting out of Western gender antagonisms. Here, power and race are the major players. Since we are all responsible for and accountable to our sisters, we should be ashamed. Since we are all responsible for and accountable to our sisters, we should be ashamed. Conceptually, African men who physically and mentally abuse the African woman who loved them without question are no different from the African men who kill each other for fun and or for profit. Perceived powerlessness, the historical awareness that the European will kill you for nothing, the weight of oppression and systematic genocide, along with its resilient rage, place African men in a position of being blind males with guns. The problem and solution are right before our eyes. We have proposed and undertaken every possible way to address and reduce the stress of young African males, except teaching them to challenge and neutralize on every front the widespread power of European men to rule over their lives. Affirm, I will work to correct our shame. Affirm, I will work to correct our shame. Tomorrow will be my mother's birthday. She would be 93 tomorrow. She passed in 2007, November 26th. And so I'm going to read this Inyese Sim in her honor. May even read it again on Wednesday. The love that we exchange, let it last forever. Let love inspire, encourage, and strengthen and nurture us. Queen Afua. After our vision has been claimed and made a mission without rival, after our truest talents are revealed through an honest striving for independence, after our differences are understood as complementarities and not oppositional forces, after our imperfections are discovered and neutralized and growth does not induce chaos, after our bodies know each other and want has matured into need, after our children have multiplied far beyond our immediate genes, after our wealth becomes the family we keep in thought, word, and deed, after we continue moving in the way of warriors or healers, even as peers retire in defeat, after we measure among true elders being asked permission to speak, only after we know each other in this way does love come. Ashe. Affirm, I love my compliment. Affirm, I love my compliment. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes, sir, brothers and sisters. I am going to read once again, as I have and continue to do, because as we continue to promote Pan-Africanism, as we continue to promote African sovereignty, as we continue to elevate our people and steer them in the direction of self-sufficiency and independence and sovereignty, it is understood then all the efforts of our past and what needs to be corrected so we may move in the future. Kwame Nkrumah, all of them, Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, yes, Idi Amin Dada, and so many others, Julius Nyerere, all understood and clearly understood that Africa is not just these 54 countries that Europeans created coming out of the Berlin Conference. Brothers and sisters, when you look at that map and you see those lines, they were not created by us. I don't give a damn about the line. What I care about is African sovereignty. What I care about is Africans controlling their land, controlling their resources, controlling their people. This is what Kwame Nkrumah said in 1961, the Speech of Freedom. I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear or envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. 1961, a few years later. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we have suffered heretofore. Kwame Nkrumah, as a cliche goes, no truer word spoken. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from theirs, so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is a demand by an African-centered view, because we are Africans, and because the future towards which Europe leads us is genocide. Marimba-ani. Mama Marimba. Marimba-ani. You know, the holidays coming up, and so, you know, I always got to pull out what Mama Marimba, and she's updated it. So I'll read it again on Friday. But this is the misgiving, an African-centered, indigenous-centered view. A group of European scavengers, many of whom have been imprisoned or homeless in England, arrived in what is now called, in that area, New England in 1620. They first lived on Turtle Island. Half of them died within a few months. Squanto, of the Pequot people, who had been in captivity by the Europeans and taken to England, spoke English and formed a close, quote, relationship with these pitiful migrants. He taught them how to grow corn and to fish, how to prepare certain foods and other survival skills. The European people saw Squantos as an instrument of their God to help his chosen people. In other words, they used him. To them, he and his people were heathens and savages. The worldview of the indigenous people, much like the African worldview, taught them to give freely to those who had nothing. Squanto is said to have negotiated a false treaty between the nearby Wampanoag and the Pilgrims, the quote Pilgrims. The leader of the Wampanoag Nation, Meshika, donated food stored to the struggling colony of Europeans. And in 1621, having survived a hard winter due to the help of the Wampanoag, the Europeans celebrated as their custom to having a thanksgiving to their God. No Wampanoag or other members of any other indigenous group were invited. And yet they came and supplied most of the food. In return for helping them to survive, the Pilgrims decimated Wampanoag through disease, treachery, and slaughter in the years which followed. By 1637, as the Europeans were feeling successful, more powerful, and in control of their newly conquered territory, an expedition was sent to Connecticut near the Gorton. Over 700 indigenous people, the Pequot, were celebrating their yearly harvest, the annual Green Corn Festival, when they were taken by surprise by these Caucasian invaders. Their men were shot and clubbed to death, while their women and children were burned alive. Winthorpe, the first governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony, proclaimed a day of thanksgiving, saying that they should thank God for destroying the savages to make way for a better growth. That is a quote in the work of Cotton Mather. What followed constitutes one of the most vicious records of continuing massacres of indigenous people of this land, now known as America. It became the custom of Caucasians to follow each massacre with a thanksgiving. Rewards would be given to those who returned with the skulls in the scalps of indigenous people to encourage the slaughter. In 1863, it was decided to celebrate only one day of Thanksgiving proclaimed by Lincoln. At a later period, the fourth Thursday of November was chosen by the capitalists to maximize the shopping days until Christmas. In 1970, at the 350th anniversary of the landing of Europeans, pilgrims, Puritans, a leader of indigenous people prepared a speech in which he told the true history of Plymouth and berated those Caucasian people for robbing the graves of the Wampanoag. The officials of Massachusetts did not allow them to make that speech.
Every year since then, indigenous people of this land have looked upon the fourth Thursday of November as a day of mourning. You can go online and look at Russell Means, Susan Bates, Jacqueline Keeler, and of course there's more information. We African people of America are victims of the same process that resulted in the murder of millions of indigenous people and decimation of their nation. America was built on stolen land. This is the legacy of Europeans in this country, taking without thanks, taking without giving is exploitation. Change is not easy. We are used to celebrating with our families on this day. It is also good to come together and to share a meal with each other. But we don't have alternatives. We always need to be in the process of growth. Growth makes change necessary. We can change a little at a time, remembering that our goal is African sovereignty. When you and your family on this Thursday, the 28th, take a moment to remember and talk about the true meaning of this quote, so-called holy day, holiday. We don't have to contribute to profit-making mania organized by the large conglomerates encouraging us to spend money that we don't have during the weekend following that day. Don't shop! Black Friday. And if you do shop, shop with some of us. If you don't have a place, then wait for, Cyber Tuesday or Monday? I don't know. And then go online to shop with us. Make it a point. Encourage the family. Discuss it on Thursday at the table. No, man, we ain't going there. We're going to shop tomorrow on this so-called, we're going to make it a real Black Friday. Make the sacrifices of fasting that day. Yes, it would be a challenge, but you can still enjoy your family and at the same time identify with those who were exploited, murdered, raped of their resources as we have been. This is not a cause for celebration. It is not. I know this Thursday when family comes from far and wide and you sit down and break bread together, I understand the love that you can share, and I hope that it is a peaceful gathering. But the reality of it is, this Thanksgiving is theirs, not ours. Let us choose a day from which the Pan-African world nation gives thanks together for the gift of African ancestry and the sacrifice they have been made for us by our ancestors. We can start small with the Africans that we know. It's a process. Let's begin it now. In African victory and sovereignty, my dear friend, Mama Marimba Ani. I'll read that again on Monday. Today's Monday. I read it again on Wednesday as we prepare for that high holy day. You know, yeah, the high holy days. Yeah. I tell you, I love the Inye Sesim.
This call is being recorded.
I love the Inye Sesim. I really do. Yep. 646, we got a call. 602.
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing great, good brother.
Good, Marcus.
You know, years ago, when I found out about African people and European holidays, I decided, you know what, I ain't going to celebrate none of these European holidays.
Shank, right on.
You know, because I'm celebrating actually my demise.
Yes.
If I celebrate those holidays,
yes,
I am celebrating my demise.
Yes.
And I tell you the truth. You see, these holidays, there is so much dysfunction, see, when we get together. Mm-hmm. You see, because I have been to family affairs and so much arguing and fighting and foolishness happened. That's why I say, you know what, I ain't supporting none of that foolishness.
Yeah.
Because
that's
a bunch of dysfunction.
Right. And see, and that's what I said, in terms of the day, because I understand we're going to do it, but I'm praying and hoping that you have a good day, that it's a peaceful day, and y'all get together and from whoever, from far and wide, and have some love and respect for one another, enjoy it. But I understand it's not ours.
Nope.
You know, Christmas, 4th of July, none of them damn days are ours. They all, in fact, they all celebrate, as you said, our defeat.
Exactly. So why would I be celebrating that? You know, and that's why there is so much dysfunction at those gatherings. Because I've been to gatherings, and brother, this family member don't like that family member. This, mm-hmm. I don't like him.
Yeah.
I say, you know what? To hell with it all. Anyway, brother, you take care. Just had to say that.
Appreciate it, man. All right, brother. I hope you can get listen on Wednesday. You have a blessed day, Brother Marcus. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, no, I agree, you know. And a good ancestor who I share a birthday with, April 27, Dr. Bear Shango. And, of course, he has a book, African People and European Holidays. You know, and I'll probably play that towards the Xmas holiday, you know, but even this one he mentions. But all of them, you know, I'll tell you, when I first learned about this, obviously you don't learn about this in school. If you can remember your upbringing, now, of course, mine was the 50s and 60s, and I know it hasn't changed too much, especially in a public school and in a parochial school, maybe in a choice or charter school. Probably the only thing where you're going to learn the true story is an independent African-centered school. Because what you're going to learn in those schools is that, you know, this was their manifest destiny. They came here. The indigenous people work with them and they help them and so forth. You're not going to learn about that massacre. You're not going to learn because of that massacre they gave thanksgiving that they could have massacred these people and take their land and take their resources. You're not going to learn about that. You're going to have children dressed up as an Indian or indigenous person, and you're going to have children who have a pilgrim hat on or something like that, and they're going to have some food and some, you know, like they may have freshmen. So I mean, I never forget, that's what we did when I was in school. Had some refreshments, just cookies and so forth, some Kool-Aid or whatever the hell it was. I remember it, you know? So you're not going to learn about that. But once again, I'm at the firehouse. And at that time, and I think the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel brought it back, but basically it were two papers. There was a evening paper was the Journal, and a morning paper was the Sentinel. Then they combined just one paper in the morning, so they scrapped the evening paper. But I learned this in the evening paper because they had an insert in the evening paper called the Green Sheet, and I learned about the real Thanksgiving. And then I researched it. It's there. It's not like, see, I think for some of us, we think that, you know, even though they do things in a very clandestine way, very secretive way, a lot of this information is right there because they're so arrogant and so bold. It is right there. It's right in front of your face. But because they know they have captured our minds, they ain't worried about, you know, when I get this information, what's going to happen? How it's going to change? How you're going to think differently? It had a profound effect on me, knowing that truth. I had an idea. I mean, I didn't know the details, you know. Especially, I was, 20-some years old, I think, when I read it. Maybe 30, you know, 30-some. Because it was at the first firehouse I worked at. That I was assigned to. And so you could see, and there's a lot of information on that, on that situation, on that story about how, you know, they just massacred our brothers and sisters, our indigenous brothers and sisters, just massacred them. And then the God to come back and to thank their God. It's just like we keep saying to you, this Christianity is their God. Oh yeah, they wanted to make it universal. Oh, believe me, by being universal, I can get everybody's money. I can take everybody's land because I made them accept my God as theirs. And my God has told them to worship me. Just like that's the inserts of the captive portions of the Bible. They inserted that to say, obey your masters as you would obey me. How convenient. How convenient. So I'm saying, brothers and sisters, I know a lot of us, you know, there's that saying, if we knew better, we'd do better. But believe me, the responsibility of knowing better causes us some anxiety because we got to change. Responsibility of knowing changes the behavior, changes the actions. And so for some of us, or even most of us, we don't want to know. We don't want to know this history. We'd rather just go on as business as usual and continue on and hope that for me and mines, I ain't talking about us as African people, just talking about me and mine, me, my family. In fact, that may be limited. It ain't all my family because I don't like most of them anyway. We will do well. We will do well. We're getting ours. We got good jobs. Some of us have went to school, graduated magna cum laude, summa cum laude, 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 laude. I got mines. It ain't the system, it's you. The system is there for everybody. There was racism, but that's old. There ain't no racism. Just like a piece I saw, just, I read a little bit of it, but I just couldn't stand it. There is no police brutality. There is no police killing us and getting. Damn, it's been happening. What the hell? I'm saying to myself as I'm reading this article. But then again, understand, brothers and sisters, when you control the narrative, and I put that out there, continue to put that out there, then that's what you're going to think. Yes, there was racism. Yes, there was discrimination. Yes, there was all these other things and segregation and so, but that's old. That's over. You can live anywhere you want to live. You got the money. You can do this, that, and the other. The position that Europeans are in their world, in this country, is so entrenched. I mean, it's locked. You've heard me say it if you listen to this program. The income inequality is so deep and so systemic that it would take over 230 years. And that means that Europeans' income monies would be frozen and ours would be incrementally built upon. It would take over 230 years before equity would be achieved. 230 years. So they're saying never. Saw an article the day said the net worth of us in about 20, 30 years will be negative. We won't have any. Because why? Because we don't use the money correctly, number one. We don't pull the money together. I say it all the time. That's why I'm down with cooperatives. I'm down with brothers and sisters who are honest, who are committed, who are sincere. to pull monies together to do things for African people. Yes, I hate what happened to us lifting us in our cafe. I put the blame where it squarely belongs, on our membership. Yes, we could have done some things differently, but damn it, we got to support one another. We got to be willing. If you have an issue, bring it up. Don't let it fail. Here is a cooperative. That means people put money in this that fail where an individual's business succeed. There should have been no way. Because we're in a land that promotes and perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. We are profoundly impacted by this mindset. I got mine. And if you didn't get yours, it's your fault because it's there to get. This is a bad situation for African people. This is a bad situation for us collectively. It only spells. Like I said, as I read to you about Mama Marima, what she said about that. We are Africans. But everything that the European does is meant for our divine. How can we have here in America, where we were once 17% in the largest so-called, quote, minority, now at the bottom, and we're 12%, 13%. How does that happen? And our population is relatively young. We know they ain't no old folks. We young. Childbearing years and so forth. And to me, I know I could not have been a legislator on a local level, state level, national level. I could not have been a legislator. Number one, I would not be a Democrat. I would be independent. Sure in the hell wouldn't be a Republican. Definitely would not be a conservative to conserve. You mean you want to conserve this madness? Democrat Republicans are just a different wing of the same filthy, funky ass bird. Conserve this. That's why when I hear Negroes like that, being conservative, it was disappointing a few weeks ago here in Atlanta when Trump came here and they had black voices for Trump. About 300 people. I mean, I understand the millions of people that are here in the metropolitan Atlanta area, but understand the 300 people were old folks. A lot of them were millennials. A lot of them were a little younger, like 40-something, who believe that the system that he perpetuates is going to be good for us. What the Democrats do, what the Republicans do, and anything else in this damn society is not good for us collectively. It may benefit a family or two, an individual or two, but for us, not so much. I have a guest coming on in the next hour. My good brother, Aboku Dudiyemi, in his beautiful book for children. A is for Africa. S is for sovereignty. Great illustrations, beautiful colors, afforded by Mama Marimba, by Marimba Ani, that I'll attempt to read. So, you are listening to African Perspectives. Here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay right here with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting, or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Saying this is agnostic, people been playing the fence. They keep saying it's the same in the sense that evolution requires faith that the universe just came to exist. First of all, microevolution's been proven in the same way that sound waves let you listen to music. And macroevolution is the system of change at or above the level of species inflicted with change. That's microevolution on the grand scale we can't even word because our lifespan's too short to observe. But carbon dating is flawed. Its half-life is 5,730 years, and that supports our cause. Now that'd be great if we used it to date, but since we don't, then I'ma question that argument's weight. We use potassium argon to date the globe, not carbon 12 or carbon 14, not none of those. So before you attack, great, go get your facts straight, because in the facts race, your God comes in the last place. Believe in gods, we can fix that. Irrational thoughts, we get dispatched. It may be hard, but we'll get back. Position just to end that. Believe in gods, we can fix that. Irrational thoughts, we get dispatched. It may be hard, but we'll get back in the position.
to battle me, you need to reason clearly. Now I'm not saying fear me, but at least be versed in punctuated equilibrium theory, grand unified fields, quantum mechanics and dark planets, with logic that's sharper than the blade of D'Artagnan's to destroy arguments of creationists who can't stand it. Then they try to hit me with the wager. Who? Pascal's wager. Who? Pascal's wager. Now that's a fool's bet, and against the intelligent, it's used less. Really? You bet. That ain't nothing new, they use it on kids, but for those who don't know, it goes a little like this. Wouldn't you rather believe in God and be wrong, than to not believe in God and be wrong? If you believe in God and you're wrong, you lost nothing, but if you don't believe and you're wrong, it's all suffering. The problem is, you can try it on anything, switch the gods around and apply it to anything. The flying spaghetti monster, Zeus, Amen-Ra, Krishna, Odin, Baal, and then Allah. Which one of them's our God? None of them are false, and blame it on the atheists, it's always our fault, except it never is. So don't get mad at us, we just showing y'all the evidence. Believe in gods, we can fix that, fix that. Irrational thoughts, we can dispatch, dispatch. It may be hard, but we'll get back. Just to end that, end that. Believe in God, we can fix that, fix that. Irrational thoughts, we can dispatch, dispatch. It may be hard, but we'll get back, get back. In the position just to end that, end that, end that. Grand unified theory, rational response squad. I'ma make the fundies hate me. They gon' need a new reason to shut down rap. But they won't shut down rap that degrades women, though, huh? They won't shut down rap that talks about selling crack, though, huh? Hypocrites. It's all good. Grand Unified. I'm Grand Unified. Grand Unified. Great Square. Grand Unified.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here very quickly are here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., immediately followed by on Monday and Wednesdays, The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones on Monday and Wednesdays from 1 to 3. And then on Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black, 365 from 8 to 9. And then after that is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays from 8 to 10 as well, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it is Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, it's 7 p.m., and Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. But every Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Okay, brothers and sisters, I see that my guest is here. Brother Boku,
hey,
how you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm doing fine, son. I'm doing quite well. I'm doing well. Once again, I have in my possession an outstanding children's book. A is for Africa, S is for sovereignty. It is a beautiful book.
Well, that means
book.
A lot coming from you. Thank you.
Yes. Well, hey, I'm serious about it. Like I said, I had to come by last night and get another copy, man, because I would give it away. And really, if you have a copy and you see a child and or family member that you know that you want to enlighten, because believe me, this book helps out tremendously, you know, helps out tremendously with gaining the knowledge that we must have to move into that direction of being independent, self-determining, and a sovereign people. It is necessary.
Absolutely.
So
When did this concept come up for A is for Africa, S is for sovereignty?
A is for Africa, S is for sovereignty came up, whoa, maybe around 2011, 2012,
okay,
when my daughter was in kindergarten here in Atlanta at school. And as we watched her and saw how she was moving in that arena, we saw that she started to get some ideas and started to exhibit some behaviors that weren't necessarily in line with what we wanted to have.
Okay.
So in order for us to replace some of those ideas and correct those behaviors, we decided to bring her home and educate her ourselves, especially to keep her from being minimized.
Yeah.
And so my wife created Kibole Bole Educational Institute, which is still around today.
Beautiful.
And she created classes and curriculum to support that. And that's how it all really started.
Okay.
You know, my son was born a few years later, and we were looking for a resource to support him with his ideas and behaviors so we could instill it more easily. But we couldn't find anything, Baba, so we had to create it.
That's right. That's right. And that's the thing to do. If you are searching for it, it's not there, then make it. Make it happen. That's what we have to do, you know. The illustrations are beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, they are. Oh, the illustrations are done by Salim Bey. Salim Bey is, I guess, very well known in the community. He's a local artist here in Atlanta, and mm-hmm. he's very skilled, and he actually drew the illustrations, and the colors were done by another sister.
Okay.
A very, very, very good, great colorist. Her name is Tanisha.
Okay.
Tanisha Stokely, and she's not, you know, you may not be aware of her, but she's around, and this is mm-hmm. the first work that she did in a book, and I appreciate it because she is talented. Salim had faith in her, told me, listen, this sister knows what she's doing, so she put it together for us.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a beautiful collaboration, man, and to me, every American African or African on the continent in the diaspora should, as children, that family should have this book in hand. Because it gives some clear, you know, I know in the foreword here it says to our ancestors that every African returned to heal the wounds of oppression, to your wife, Evelyn, every African directing the education and socialization of our children. To my children, Ayodele and
Ayodele
and your and
Apirin.
Okay, Apirin, and every African child learning to serve African people. To every African who has, or will, or ever will, challenge oppression, your victories will be celebrated. And Ashe, I agree. And then, of course, the forward is by Marimba. I'm going to try my best to do my best to read it. If I miss something, please correct me, because mm-hmm. I think the forward is outstanding. And, of course, we all know Mama Marimba and Baba Barudi and many other Africans who are sovereigntists, Africans who believe that Africans should control their lives and control their destiny, to control their land, you know. And to
that's
me,
right.
That's
key. You were
key.
There, Baba.
That's right.
When Nana Marimba offered to do the foreword for this work.
Yeah.
We had just laid down a lot of the words for the book itself.
Mm-hmm.
And around that time, you know, we were realizing, well, we're realizing two things, actually. We're realizing that it wasn't just a book for African people.
Mm-hmm.
And we were realizing, excuse me, it wasn't just a book for African children. It
right.
was a book for adults as well.
Exactly.
And that we also realized that other parents may want to instill those similar ideas and behaviors into their children, just like we wanted to develop in ours.
Right.
And when we saw you and Mama Marimba that day at Malcolm X Park,
okay.
and we read some of the
yeah.
words, is when she was really interested in doing that work, and that meant a lot to me as well. She liked it so much that she would actually do it for the book. So I
beautiful.
Really appreciate that.
Oh, Ashe, I agree. This book is wonderful. Bukua Duduyeme has done what I always wanted to do. He has created a primer of African consciousness. A is for African, S is for sovereignty, is an introduction to Adunosa, the African worldview. It is serious, yet playful. And African parents and grandparents read this text to their children. They, along with their children, become immersed in a discussion and explanation of African deep thought. It is compelling and inviting as the readers and listeners move through the alphabet of African concepts. The book is African Child Center. It is easily understandable, yet intellectually challenging, encouraging spiritual and ideological growth. A is for African. S is for sovereignty, can be the catalyst for the development of Sambanpa? Of good character.
Yes.
Good character. It offers lessons that enumerate and affirm African cultural values and codes of conduct and behavior. It is filled with information concerning African life, our story, and civilization. Brother Duyemi has created a carefully prepared, clearly stated, beautifully presented, well-written, and well-researched book for African families to experience together. As young children participate in this experience, their vocabulary expands, they learn to read, and the seeds of an African sovereign consciousness are planted. Brother Boku is a gifted writer who uses his talent to touch the spirit of every young African child. This book is filled with such gems and brilliant images as Grandpa wraps me in stories and as I munch on my music and make meals of the sun. Nana Bofar, Baba Asa Hilliard, advised us to focus on mass socialization of our children. My brother has produced a formidable weapon, a tool for the first stage in African warrior training. This book must serve as a model for others. We need an arsenal of primers such as this, which together will constitute a front line of our project to build an African sovereign world order. I say.
Yep. Yes, Bob, listen, this the mass socialization of our children that has our children and ourselves alienated, has our children alienated from themselves,
yeah.
Has our children alienated from our people, and has our children alienated from our way.
Right.
And it's this disconnection that I was trying to heal with this book. See, we use the book to reconnect the child to the family and to the people who love them.
Yes.
And then we use the family, and especially the stories of the family, to connect that child to the ideas that we want them to have, the mm-hmm. ideas of an African identity, ideas that contains the values that we want them to have. And then we use all that to connect them through the book to our worldview.
Right.
So we end up teaching them what we want them to know in order to serve our people. And that's the whole point.
Right.
Because all the research has been done on how culture has led to higher academic achievement. But we want the book to encourage active use of the family and active use of our culture for that higher academic achievement, while at the same time developing a clear identity, a clear African identity versus a confused identity that universal humanism all sometimes stimulates.
Right.
We want to use that clear identity and direct that high academic achievement in service of our people.
And that's what we must do, because, I mean, believe me, you're not going to get it. Definitely not going to get it in a public school. And you won't get it in some of these choice and charter schools, because they mirror the public schools in education. You won't get it from a parochial school. You get it from an African-centered school that is maintained by our people, and that the love of our people for our children, it is there. It is not just about a teacher there to get a paycheck. It is there for the teacher to instruct a child to go in the way of our ancestors, and to honor that, and to respect our parents, and to uplift our community, not to educate so we can get out and go to some other community or marry somebody. No, it is to strengthen our community and to develop the human resource that we so desperately need. So, I mean, to me, it's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful book.
That is right. I asked an elder of mine in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Bob Ronald, once. He said, we were having a talk about what happened. He was a very successful engineer, and he has achieved the level of success that our children sometimes want financially and in terms of creating and having a family. And I asked him, you know, what happened in the 60s? What happened, you know, with our people in terms of doing work for each other? He said, I'm going to tell you, young brother, he said, where he was, they had a lot of encouragement to achieve academically. They had a lot of encouragement to achieve financially. And what they were never told was to give back or how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't given instructions to give back. They weren't given instructions how that was done or in what way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they as they achieved, they got further and further away from service to our people.
That's right. Well, you know, I say that one of the problems, because, you know, I that's when I grew up. I'm from that era, you know. And my consciousness was raised in the late 60s, you know, 67, 8. And because, I mean, I had no idea. The only thing I had learned prior to that point was, you know, Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver. They didn't even talk about Frederick Douglass. They didn't want to talk about nobody who was rebellious. You know, you didn't get Sister Arminta Ross, Harriet Tubman. You didn't get her at that time, you know, back when I was coming up. This is what you got, you know. And then when the movement started to happen, I believe what it was lacking was the African cultural aspect of it. We wanted what Caucasians had. We wanted to be equal in the society. If they had, and in fact, it wasn't even about integration. It was about equal access to, you know, this school in a suburb, if they have a $2.5 million budget, we should have a $2.5 million budget. You know? That's where we were coming from at that time, but it wasn't cultural. We wanted to mirror the Caucasian and what they were doing. That's why, to me, as a consequence, become the failure that it was, because we didn't embrace that. Oh, yeah, some of us put on dashikis and wrapped a gele on our heads and so forth. But for many of our people, that was just a fad at the time, you know? It's just like with me, when I changed my name and I wore African clothes, and many people at that time in the 70s, early 80s were wearing African clothes and so forth, but it was a fad. Because right after that, they start breaking out in suits and ties, you know? Right. And I'm still wearing African clothes. Always will, you know? So, because to me, it is about our culture. Culture is the framework. Is that a ceiling which makes us who we are as a people. But in America, America perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what America's about. I got to get mine. And if you don't get yours, it's your fault, because it's there to get. Ain't nothing wrong with the society. You know, it's good society because it affords individuals. It affords individuals these opportunities. Yes, there's opportunity. There may not be equal opportunity, and it's shown in hell ain't and never will be, but there is opportunity. And so if in the opportunity you can't get the equal opportunity, then whatever opportunity you desire, theft, graft, murder, you know, cheating and lying, forgery, whatever. It's all there within the society. You know,
that's right.
This is an evil society. And so therefore, when you have a book such as this that helps our young people know and understand who they are, that's why it should happen at the earliest of ages. Because I believe that once those children get it at the earliest of ages, it, just as Mama Maruma said, is a primer. It establishes a firm foundation of Africanness. You recognize you ain't black. You know, you are African. That all the other stuff they send aside, that's not you. And then you begin to move in that direction because you are guided, you know.
That's right. We believe, Baba, you know, that, you know, to a large extent, and especially initially, identity comes from the parents. Children get their identity from the parents, and to a large extent, they get their values from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that if we can reconnect the child to the parent, you know, take them off the iPad, you know, sit them in a lap, put a book in front of them. Mm-hmm. We can reconnect the child to the parent, then we can deal with some of this disconnection, and then the child will come running to our history and come running to our culture.
But see, that parent,
for the answers, for the strategies that we have available and have had since the beginning of time.
Right. So, but see, that parent, you know, we have been so, you know, inculcationists mm-hmm. into the mindset that we have. And so therefore the parents, you know, that's why you see such child abuse. That's why you see such neglect and so forth, because we buy into this system. It is all about me and mine, and to hell with you and yours. And so many parents, you know, their parenting is not about, I'm going to raise me a son and daughter that will be mm-hmm. independent and self-sustaining, that will have knowledge of themselves, that will be proud of who they are and exemplify that. You know, sometimes the parents, they just let the child go. And if you let the child go in this system, the peer pressure, all the negativity that is all out there, they will be impacted by that. And of course they will follow suit in that. And sometimes that has deep and dire consequences, not just imprisonment, but hell, it could be death.
That's right. I like what you said about mindset. See, the theme of this book is about developing a warrior, healer, builder mindset.
Yeah. Yes.
And I also help people develop the skill set necessary to fight, heal, and build for our people. Mm-hmm. You know, for those who know me, I work a lot with the Monte Moyos, and I'm a warrior, healer, builder facilitator, and we teach people how to fight the people's policies and practices that aggress upon our people.
I say.
We heal the wounds coming from living in society, and we also build trust with our people so we can build families and businesses and organizations that support us.
Yeah.
And we want them to support us toward the goal, which is the goal of this book, which is sovereignty for African people.
And see, a lot of us don't understand that, because we have been so inundated with the way of this society. And mm-hmm. many of us can't think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us, or we can't release that vice grip that they have on our minds. And of course, if you know that tool, you know that once that vice grip is set, you can't just pull it apart. But there's a knob at the end of the handle. And this book is a primary source for helping to release that knob, to turn that knob so we can release the vice grip and then think clearly and lovingly about who and what we are. We have a caller, my brother. Okay, we'll take this caller. All right. Yes. 646, good afternoon.
Hope up, Brother Oshie, and hope up to your guest. Hey, you know, when your guest first came on, he made a statement in regards to his daughter that a lot of people don't realize, but it is probably one of the most factual statements that a parent could make, is that when you send your children to these enemy schools and they start to display certain behavior, you got to get the hell out of there quick. Because what a lot of parents don't realize is that the school is where your children pick up basically most of their bad habits, because they're interacting with some other children that just don't have the proper home discipline or the home training necessary to behave in a certain fashion. That's why I'm an opponent for homeschooling totally. I don't believe that you should ever give your children to these enemies on no level, because basically their job is to do what? To identify that child that could work for them. Once they identify that child that could work for them and that child shows a certain type of, one would say, submissive behavior and ability to follow orders and to go along and to get along, then they got them. And once they get them, if they act in that fashion, they're going to train them to do work, to work for them. They're never going to train them to do work for you. And the thing is, I never understood, I didn't understand that why would somebody that's your oppressor educate your child to compete with their child for the limited resources? And believe me, in this country, the resources are becoming more and more limited every day for people of color.
And you're right. And that's why the European wants some of us in that system, because it gives the illusion of inclusion. And when they prop up those individuals, and you see, you too can be like him or her, you know, and they live in a nice house, you know, and they make these pronouncements. We the first one to move here. My daughter's the first to go to this school. And she was magna cum laude, 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 you know, giving you the impression, the idea that you too, yes, you too can be here if you adhere to this dictate that I'm throwing out there, and which, of course, is detrimental to our people. But that's how they do things, because everything is designed in that fashion.
So I dropped off for a quick moment, Baba, and I think I heard some of what the brother said about schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely like to make a comment about the illusion of inclusion. See, many of us are used to seeing the problem with public schools and seeing the enemy in public schools. Some of us are used to seeing it when they look at private schools. But when the vice grip is on our mind, like you said, sometimes that same miseducation comes with a red, black, and green flag hanging from the window, because we all have been wounded by the mafia in some way. And it's our job to find those wounds and heal them so we don't pass it on to the next generation. And part of that is using our culture and our community to do so.
Yep.
That's one of the things we try to do with this book, as you reconnect the child and the family, as you reconnect the family to our way. There are things that are just going to work out for us. And I agree with the illusion of inclusion being an issue, because when an illusion comes, you know, and we begin to delude ourselves, means we begin to pay attention to the illusion and follow that, you know, which is usually based on, at some deep level, some deep fear about us not being able to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that becomes some formidable thing that we have to address, because we don't want to underestimate our power, because we have that. We don't want to overestimate their power. And we have tools that we use to help people address those types of, that type of delusion, and then interrupt it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not strictly seen in the book, but we do classes on that, because oppression has been wrapped up in our communication. It's been wrapped up in our concepts, and we've been taken further and further away from our way by living here and absorbing, you know, what's seen on television, absorbing what's happening in our schools. And we've been actually, like I said, inculcated into how they organize society. And we can overcome that. We can get out from under that.
We
have tools to do so.
There's no doubt that we can. And I firmly believe that we will, because even though I'm on this radio program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and some may argue that I'm speaking as if there's no hope. That's not true. I'm just illuminating all the issues and problems that are surrounding us. But I'm very hopeful. We are the first people on this planet. We're going to get it right, you know, but we also must remember. But hold on, Jay. We also must remember what we are up against. We are up against a very diabolical, evil entity that will do whatever it can to maintain its positions of dominance and control. Whatever it can. You know, and one of the best ways it can do this is to have us at each other. Us killing each other, have us destroying one another, have us degrading and undermining one another, have us pitting up against our women, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
Well, you know, one of the things is once you gain a certain degree of success and you get to a certain position, you start to suffer from, as a friend of mine once said, grandpa syndrome, because you want to be able to live here, not face the oppressor or anything, because you want to see your grandkids develop and grow and things of that nature. I'll give you a perfect example of somebody who I feel suffers from grandpa syndrome just based on one thing that he said to me. Matter of fact, it was his book that brought me in the consciousness, From Plants to Planet by Aki Madhubuti. He had a statement in his book that I lived by for my whole life. He said, the white man is your perpetual enemy. And let me tell you something. Since I read that book over 30-some years ago, the white man ain't done a damn thing to change my mind.
That's right.
Now, unfortunately, the white man done changed Hakeem's mind, because I asked Hakeem the direct question on the radio show a couple of years ago. I said to him, Hakeem, you changed my life, blah, 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 blah. Do you still believe that the white man is our perpetual enemy? And the brother told me no, and it broke my heart. Absolutely, absolutely devastating state to me, man. That was one of the last time I cried over that, man. Yeah. And for him to make the statement that no, things have changed, that that's no longer the case, brother, let me tell you something. Over the last 30-some years since I've been in consciousness, this thing ain't got no better, bro.
No.
As far as I'm concerned, it done. The white man done redefined it and done got better at his manipulation and his control of the African mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the manner in which he goes about keeping us under control. And unfortunately, some of us don't realize it. That's why whenever I hear somebody talking about they doing something independent, mm-hmm. as far as educational-wise and their consciousness, I know their children are getting the opportunity to know something about themselves. Because I tell you, man, and I really feel this, the educated Negro is one of the most scariest Negroes on the planet.
Oh, yeah. He's damaging.
They're worse than Fiddler.
Yeah.
Believe me. They are dangerous, man, because I got family members who are highly educated, man, and they are some of the most dysfunctional Negroes I know on this earth, man. They have no concept of family or anything, man, and I just look at them and I laugh, because you know they're not going to get into any type of serious cultural debate with you, because, you know, I'm the type, I'm brutal, so I'll just destroy you. I don't care you got a PhD, a law degree or anything. You just a simple-minded Negro. And I'm going to expose you. And I'll do it in front of your kids. Because unfortunately, anytime you got a kid and you don't teach your kids nothing about their history and their culture, they living in some fantasy about video games and other stuff, something wrong with you. So, I mean, hey, that's what we really dealing with, man.
Oh, yeah, we're dealing with
it. A lot of these people don't know nothing about their history or culture, man. And my whole thing is, you don't got to go deep, deep, deep. Just know who you are. Just have an idea of where you come from. It's just like, you know, you're going to sit up there. How you going to tell your child about some Christianity and some nonsense like that? And I always ask one fundamental question. If I rape your daughter, are you going to believe in what I tell you about? After I rape your daughter, is there going to be anything that I could say to you if you know I raped your daughter?
Of course not.
Or I killed your son? We don't
exactly. So all the evil that they have done to us, and probably what is most damaging, is to impact a religion that is tied to them and make us believe it is our salvation. And there's no doubt about it. Whatever the European does is all about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. They are the greatest purveyors of violence on this planet. And so that's the mindset. And so what we need to do is, as brother is doing with the book, A is for Africa, S is for sovereignty, is, as Mama Nee said, is a primer. It is to get us to understand from a cultural standpoint, this is who we are. And from an educational standpoint, it is for us to make sure that that education is ours, that we give to our children.
That's right. In many ways, Baba, whether through spiritual practices or miseducation in school or the falsification of our emotions, we have been educated to serve aliens. And we can do something about that. What if success for our educated children meant how many black businesses that we invested in? What if success for our educated people meant how close we get to sovereign, to African sovereign nationhood? You know, what if success meant how closely connected we are to our children and to our people and to our way?
Mm-hmm.
See, those are the things we're trying to use the book to address, and those are the things we think will help our people understand more about themselves and our way to act in service of us.
Right. But see, we have been taught that we had no way. The European has put into our mind that we were running around a jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created anything of significance, of anything of consequence. And unfortunately, when you don't understand the alternatives to that, or when you don't understand your true history and your and knowledge of yourself and your culture, you would believe that.
Mm-hmm.
See? And then you operate out of that. See?
And that's why they work so hard to keep it away from you.
That's right.
That's why they don't put history in the school. And if it is, history is so diluted, is so conflicted with, you know, untruth and just trying to make it seem like the European had something to do with things he ain't never had nothing to do with. I mean, you know, all I can say is you just got to try and educate your children the best you can and find a collective where you could work with other parents who are like mine. And for some reason, I don't understand why we not figuring that part of the equation out. Why are we not coming together collectively to open up these independent schools, to homeschool our kids, to just do certain things.
Right. But see,
you know something? In reality, it's easier now, I believe, based on the way these states have set it up, to homeschool your kids than it's ever been before. Because in all truthfulness, you basically have to follow a certain curriculum in certain states. Now, the benefit is that when you're homeschooling them, you can add all of the other things. But as long as you follow the basics of what they deem you have to be sufficient in, reading, math, certain things of that nature, through the state's curriculum, then, hey, man, I don't understand why you can't do it. And the crazy thing is, it's all right there on the computer.
Well, the other thing, though, Jay, is the fact that a lot of parents can't do it because you got to live. This is capitalism. You got to go get some money. So you got to go to work. And so a lot of parents can't do it. I agree with you. To me, the most solid foundation that we can attain and acquire that will help our children is the early childhood education, to infuse them with the knowledge of self and their culture, bringing them the truth. Now, when they go to a middle school or a high school, particularly a high school, they have been armed with the knowledge of self. So they can go in there and they can give the Caucasian or even this American African teacher what that school wants, because they know who they are and they know how the game is played. And that can continue on to whatever college or university or trade school, technical school that they may go to, because they have been infused. They stand on a foundation. They are ready for these challenges. They know what time it is here in America, because that formal education centered in African knowledge and study will provide that for them. And they can, you know, go out there and challenge anybody. But until that happens, majority of our children are in the public school systems. And in the public school system, there are many public school systems that Caucasians have to be the majority educators in those school systems. They have to be, you know. And of course, they are not going to teach. They're not going to teach our children right. Hell, they ain't going to hardly teach them at all. See?
Yeah, but what's really bad is when you are in our community and you got a majority of teachers that are still, you know, Europeans. I mean, I'm not going to blame it on us because I understand the game that's played. I know how hard it is for it to happen. But like I was saying earlier, you know, we got to figure out how, let's say, if you're in a collective group and not all of the parents work, maybe you got to get one or two parents. Or maybe you hire you a retired black teacher or something like that. You know what I mean? And we just got to figure out ways to do it, man, because these public schools are destroying our kids, man. They're destroying them. I mean, you got some that are coming out that's doing well, but if they're not getting any type of cultural home training, then they just, you know, gonna do the work for the oppressor. And then that's not totally true, because one or two certain things happen and they wake up, and, you know, just like we did, something happened to us, we got consciousness. You know what I mean? So that happened. But the majority, man, they're just going to be caught up in this madness.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that disturbs me the most is the type of debt that these young kids are getting into coming out of college now.
Tremendous. I mean, that's tremendous debt.
One of the most disturbing things to me.
Brother, Adeyemi.
Yes.
To the Emmy, rather. What are some of the good passages in the book and the alphabet that you would like to state to our listeners?
Oh, wow.
I know there's so many. There's so many gems.
I could really just cut the book and turn to any page, so I've been told. And I like, let's go to a good one for us. B is for Baba. He always buys black.
That's right.
He's building a business, bakes cookies, in fact. With Mama, he's balanced, not a king or a chief. He gets help when he needs it, and in us has belief.
I say, yeah.
See, that's one of my favorite passages in the book, Baba, because what's critical in terms of African-centered behavior is understanding that when we didn't have a Baba, when something happened to our Baba, other Babas in our community took that place. So we had multiple Babas.
Yeah.
That's something that has been lost in this society because of what it tells us is right or wrong for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
See, and as we begin to recognize some of these strategies that we use to keep our children whole and on the path we want to have, we need to learn from that and then put some of these old strategies in place in the current time. That's how you get to some of the parallel processing, how you can have your kid in public school, and then when you find a Baba who understands the dynamics of oppression, who understands how to develop African-centered identity in their children, in a child, then they can provide Saturday classes, or they can provide afternoon classes that go along with and challenge some of the education that they're getting in other places, be it private school, public school, or any other place where oppression is taking over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and B is for Baba, you know, when I talk about a balance, we're talking about giving children African-centered vocabulary that is not just vocabulary, but African-centered vocabulary that points them to the things that have worked for our people in the past and can work for us today. So, you know, people use balance in a number of ways. The balance in this particular passage is balance between Mama. So, you know, I'm talking about complementarity.
Right. Balance, exactly.
Balance.
He says exactly.
Balance between
yes.
compliments is harmony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking about circling the line. I know you may not understand that one as much, but it's a Bajimoyoism. Talking about circling the line, the superior, inferior line. So we want to make sure that here in this society, you know, men, white people have orchestrated society such that men are seen as superior
right.
to women.
Right.
And we want to be aware of that and recognize and account for it in our interactions with our sisters. So we
right.
don't discount them. So we don't end up dominating them just like folks have taught us, folks do to their women and taught us to do.
Right.
Because
you know,
I just. Junior taught, yeah.
Yeah. Because I just read
talks
the.
About balance as well.
Right. I just read the Inye Sesim. I read it every day that the program's on of the day that it is. And they were talking about that very same thing in terms of complementarity, that we need mm-hmm. each other. And see, what happens if it is done at that level, and even though we don't see it in a society, but we see it in our community, we recognize mm-hmm. it as a part of our culture. And so this culture, which is an alien culture, and it's very evil and very destructive, won't affect us because within this society, we are practicing us. We are doing us, you know, and we are shown love, encouragement, and we are being educated, you know, out of that. And so as we grow older, that's what we look for, to continue that process,
right.
to find a good mate, to be a jegna, you know, to however how many children that you can be. You know, to guide, to motivate and guide them, you know. So I love the book. I really do. I remember when I first got it and I promoted, I will continue to promote it, you know. And how can I get the book if I'm out of town, if I'm living out of town?
Oh, wow. It's in 23 locations so far.
Great.
Across the U.S. and internationally. And the reason it's not in more is because my fingers got tired, Bob. But that's why I'm on the phone with you trying to promote this book mm-hmm. so I can have people ask their particular bookstores to carry it so they can ask institutions to buy it for their children. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in the UK, you can get it at New Beacon Books. If you're, you know, in a various number of states in the U.S., you can get it. You can get it in Philly, New York,
Atlanta. New York.
In New York, it's... Oh, New York City?
Yeah.
All right, New York City. Wow, the name, that's a recent one. And the name of the location is skipping me, brother. It is, the name of the sister's location is, wow, okay. When it comes to me, I will let you know. I do know the name of sister's location. She has a bookstore, and she is an excellent sister. I did get her copies. And the name of that bookstore in New York is escaping me at this time.
All right.
Well, but see, what's unfortunate about that, there's not a lot of bookstores.
Not no more.
Right. There's
not
a lot of bookstores.
You can get it on Amazon as well. You can definitely get it on Amazon.
Okay.
You type in the ISBN, or if you type in the name itself, make sure you spell Africa with a K, and it will come right up. No question about it.
A is for Africa. S is for sovereignty.
In New York, it's Sisters Uptown Bookstore.
Okay, I know exactly where that's at.
Yep, Sisters Uptown Bookstore. You can get it there, and you can definitely get it on Amazon. If you're ever in Atlanta, you can get it at Google's or places.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if you're here in Atlanta.
Yeah, but it's definitely it's good to see that you use that whole phrase and word, Baba. You know what I mean? It's so much better to have your kids call you Baba than to call you Daddy or Dad. That old European nonsense. Nah, call me Baba. You know, I know a couple of my conscious friends that have their kids call them Baba instead of that Daddy or Dad. You know, I mean, you know, we got to start defining our own way of communicating
That's
with
right.
one another.
That's right.
And using our own words to uplift ourselves. You know, but it's a beautiful thing that you've published this type of book. You know what I mean? I'm definitely going to get a copy and, you know, enjoy it. And, yeah. you know.
Well, you know, to me, if you got children, you got grandchildren particularly, you know, because that's what a baba is. He's somebody who's in that state of elderhood and who has grandchildren. But even if you have children who are in their teens and so forth, it's still a good book. It's a primer. It helps them expand their knowledge of self. It helps them give some words to who and what we are. I mean, you know, and that's what we need. We need a changing of our mind. And the only thing I was talking
to ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
I did a talk for teenagers at this past summer's Liberated Mind Homeschool Expo here in Atlanta, Georgia. And they took to it, you know, they took to it more than some of the adults who were buying books for their children, or even some more of the grandparents who were buying books for their children, because they could see the relevance to them. They could see the relevance to them taking care of themselves and also staying inside the community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, using the tools that we have available, the insight that we have available. So I had a great discussion with them about, you know, about using this book as a tool to guide them as they went on to, you know, get out from under their parents' wings and take care of themselves.
That's right. Yeah. And see, that's the thing. We need this kind of information desperately. And we need teachers, educators, good brothers and sisters of conscience to promote it and to spread it. You know, there is no doubt in my mind that if we embrace who we are, it will solve a lot of the problems that we have in our community. It will solve a lot of the problems of dysfunction and hatred and self-hatred and denial of self in our community. It will also put a check on the materialism that happens in our community. I know that it's, I mean, I'm saying it like it's easy, because it's not. Of course it's not. You know, when you're a bombarded 24/7, 365, yeah, you know, that's deep. And the only thing that can change that is, just like they talk about propaganda, the only thing that can change propaganda is, you know, opposite propaganda. You know, that's just being real. You know? So.
And for some reason, we don't believe in propaganda against this devil at all. For some reason, we don't want to challenge him. You know what I mean? It's like, if you ever notice, when you bring facts to someone in regards to their nonsense, they usually will back away. You know what I mean? But for some reason, we don't feel as though we have the authority to challenge the white man, if the truth be told.
Yeah.
For some reason, we just feel we don't have the right to challenge him.
Well, I'll tell you this. I tell you this, we must do it. Listen, I got to get ready to go. Brother Jay, we appreciate you, man. Thank you. Hope you can listen Wednesday. We're gonna talk about this day of misgiving. Hope you can listen. Brother Adi Dudiemi, give me some closing remarks.
I hope you took your turkey out, the freezer, Oshie, and got it in the refrigerator.
That's right,
brother.
That's right.
I know you'd be at the head of the table with the pinworm hat on, right?
That's right.
Have a good day, brother.
Okay,
and
peace to you.
Have a good day, brother.
The name of the book is A is for Africa, spelled with a K, and S is for sovereignty. Boku Dudiemi. Illustrations by Celine Bay, and a foreword by Marimba Ani.
Oh, okay. Hotep, have a good day, brothers.
All right.
Peace.
All right. In closing, I'll say this, Baba. The book is dense, and it's still digestible.
Yes.
And for those who need support, I make myself available biweekly on Sundays at 7 p.m. via Zoom to talk about some of the content and concepts in the book.
Okay.
If you see Kibole Bole Education Institute on Facebook or IG, make sure you stay tuned with what we do. And it's been a wonderful time.
All right, dear brother. Peace to you. Thanks a lot, son.
Peace, Baba.
All right. Bye-bye. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esanti Asana means thank you. Bifo Hodie means our victorious destiny. Peace, family.